Good morning. This is in Hortonville. Can you give the Lord a round of applause for what he's doing in this body right here? For a guy who grew up in Little Chute and to see polar bears coming out, this is great. And now I live in Tustin. Yeah, that's Fremont. All right? Yeah, Tustin, they don't even have a population. So I live in Tustin, but it says I'm in the town of Bloomfield, but my address is Fremont. So we're a suburb of Fremont. Fremont has 426 people, and half of them work at Fort Fremont. Anyways, it's honestly great to be here. For those who don't know, tomorrow we are gonna be at the school. We'll be speaking to close to 3,000 students tomorrow. The middle schools are coming together from Greenville and Hortonville, and then the high schools are coming together, or the high school is coming together, and so pray. So with the news of why we want to come, we were so excited, and then you have that heaviness. So I change even the message for this morning because of what's going on. Our whole hope was to talk about reaching youth before the age of 18. That's a heart, the mission of Life Promotions. Everything we do, all those different things, is because we want people to know Jesus. And 2 out of 3 will do that before 18. And so thank you, God, for what you've done here, but help us pass this on. Help us share this with the next generation so that they know. That's our heart, so that we can go Yahweh. And one of my oldest talks, I think I'm going to redo it for Life Fest this summer because we have one of my office people, they made a new shirt. And we came up with a little saying, when the world says no way, we say Yahweh. Yahweh. Like, you don't really believe that God 2,000 years ago came in flesh and he died on the cross, because you no way, if you believe, yell
Yahweh.
And you really believe that you're going to spend eternity with him because what he did on the cross, no way, we say
Yahweh.
That is my hope and that is my prayer. That's what we wanted to talk about today. Because of that, that's hope. I want to talk about hope today in the middle of reality, because if it's just good for Sunday morning, I don't want it. I don't know about you, but did you look outside? I live on a lake. I've not been home for 10 days. And then 2 days before that, I was in South Africa. I just wanted to stay on Poygan, all right? But if it's real, then this is worthwhile. Here's my word for the last 2 years. My word is hallelujah. Will you say it with me?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It means loud, sing loudly in a shout of praise to our Lord. It's the only word that's the same in all the languages. Did you know that? So Alliance helped me go last year to Vietnam to preach. Thank you, by the way. So we were preaching in Vietnam, and they had a censor. It's communist country. They censored my message, had to give it to them. They gave me back what I could say, what I couldn't say, and then they had the interpretation up on the screen. But when I said the word, it was the same. I was in Pakistan this last year as well, and it was so wild. We had armed guards with us. I felt really safe until the pastor said, we're not sure if they're here to protect us or spy on us. Well, you laugh. They said, don't say, you can say follow Jesus, receive Jesus, but don't say convert, because if you convert, the person who converts will be killed, and you could as well. That's reality. But we had 30,000 people. It felt like a life fest over in Pakistan. And everyone, when I said the word,
hallelujah,
it was the same. Let me just tell you this. That's what I want for you. That's what I want. Did you ever say, like, this is the best day ever? Or this is going to be the best summer ever? This is the best week, best vacation ever, right? That's what my hope and dream is. 12 years ago, I had one of those days. Our third daughter got married, and this daughter has red hair. Her name is Joelle. And did he put it up? Oh, yeah. I got to do the wedding. Some of you like my hair shorter better. But I got to do the wedding. And to know that she met a guy, Levi, that loves Jesus and loves her, a daddy's heart just, that hallelujah. But when we did the father-daughter dance, We did. We really did. And she picked butterfly kisses. I'm a blubbering idiot. Like, I'm sorry, I love worshiping. Like, they're amazing. You're worshiping. Can you give them a round of applause? My goodness. So I love to sit in the back so I don't, like, I'm up here, just awesome. But when you have a hallelujah moment, you want to scream with excitement, but at the same time has a content joy and a contentment, because so many times that peace isn't with that excitement, and then you have that heaviness. But at that day, I just like, man, that's what I want. I want to live that, and I want to share that with others. I was speaking at Bethel University, and I love speaking to college age 18, 21-year-olds, especially everywhere, but especially when they're in a Christian college, and they're looking like, how do we go and make a difference in this world? I just love it. But this was a smaller university, and the president told me it was about Christmas time, and he got there, a small university, and they were struggling, and he got an end-of-the-year gift for $1 million. He said, I was sitting at the chair in my office, you know, like, hallelujah, and he fell over on the chair. He said, I didn't care. My hands were sealed up. Tears are coming down my face. He was like, hallelujah. He said, I went and started telling professors and teachers and students, and I thought, I got to call the donor. I got to call him. So he called him and said, I just want to thank you. We got the check. He said, oh, I'm so glad you called. There's been a mistake. That's not for Bethel University in Indiana. That's for Bethel University in Minnesota. Can you please send a check back? Did you feel that just now? Did you feel the air sucked out of this room? Did you ever get kicked in the gut spiritually or emotionally and you can't even breathe? How do you say hallelujah then? What do you do when that happens? Many of us right here, if we're honest, would admit that that's how it's been for the last year. A lot of us have had a year that's felt like a hurricane. Or maybe it's still pain in your past or shattered dreams. Or you've had broken promises or failed relationships. Some of us have death of a loved one, and please pray for that family. Some of you are struggling with chronic pain, continual health issues, failed resolutions, failed marriages. One of the deepest pain I see in church is when a mom or dad, grandma and grandpa saw their son or daughter or grandchild come to Christ. You saw them baptized, and now they've walked away. And there's pain right here about that. And you're like, how do I say hallelujah now? What do I do in the reality of every day? That's when we need comfort. And that's when we need joy. But hallelujah, comfort and joy was born. You see, hope is not an idea. Hope is a person. Hope is a person, and his name is? And it's real. I never sang that song. He's closer than my skin. What? Because he's in me. Right? Hope is a person. In Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and he's the same yesterday. And hope is a person, and his name is
Jesus.
It's so easy to say, but we got to believe this. It has been said, and I don't know how I went through 40 years of ministry without ever hearing that till this year. They say one moment with God is better than 1,000 hours of programming. Now, please hear me. I love programs. I like discipleship groups. I love technology like this. I love great music. I love how we have so many resources today. But it'll be nothing if we don't have a touch of God. Now, I know God is everywhere, but what does it mean when you experience him, right? Not just dead religion, but a relationship where you get to know him. But we got to know this. Hope is not just for the future. Hope has to deal with the past. Because there's things in the past that are holding us back from the future. Amen? There's things in the past that are trying to hold us back from the future. So here's what I want hope to stand for this message. Hope, H-O-P-E, stands for this: healing over past events. Can you say that with me? You guys are really great. Okay. So it comes from where? Exodus 15, 26. It says, "For I am the Lord God who heals you." For I am the Lord God who heals you. We use Jehovah Jireh, excuse me, a lot, right? My provider. I love this one. This one, his name, the Lord who heals you, is Jehovah Rapha. Isn't that a fun word? I'm sorry, I'm going to have you repeat a lot. I want you to know this, right? Jehovah Rapha. Say that one more time. Jehovah Rapha. I just love that. The God who heals. Like, we switched the message. So we didn't organize the songs with the message. And so then they start playing that song. He healed back then, he's healing now. I'm like, you knew this was going to happen today. It's like somebody set this up. Do you know you're not an afterthought? Do you know that I was just on this, a month ago, I was in Thailand, and there's beautiful, I didn't know how beautiful their beaches were, but they said all the sands of the sea, right? We had just a little bottle, and they said there was 3 million grains of sand, right? 3 million. And it says, that is the thoughts of the Lord towards you. But do you believe God can heal today? I don't understand, because it's not our faith that heals. But Jesus said over and over, go away, your faith has made you whole. Now, faith is just a straw. There's only healing in Jesus. But I don't think we believe anymore. I don't believe that we believe that God can do. Is he the same? Did you read the Bible lately? He's always healing people. People are always being set free. Well, I think he's the same God. But people say to me, but Bob, the pain is so real. And the loss is so deep and the hurt is so blinding. But I think we get stuck in our grief. Some of you may know this. But when I lost my brother, I know God speaks today, and he speaks to me mostly through his word, mostly through creation, mostly through people. I'm not one of those guys that like, oh yeah, God said this morning. I know he wants to. But to be honest, that's not always how it is. But I know at this time, God spoke to me. I heard his voice in my spirit. And he said this: being miserable is not grieving. Being miserable is getting stuck. Grieving is good. Can you say that? Grieving is? Good. Grieving is good. Grieving is natural. Grieving is facing any emotion you have, any question, from sadness to rage to loss to doubts. One of my new favorite verses is, Lord, I believe, help me with my unbelief. But so many of us, we want to keep that Christian smile on so we never admit it. But if you don't admit it, how can we grow? But being miserable is not grieving, it's getting stuck. Grieving is good. Here's why. So we can face it and bring it to the cross. I just heard a preacher say, we should never look at our past. It should be illegal for Christians to look at the pain of their past except through the cross of Jesus. Because so many of us, the pain still owns us. The voices from our parents that weren't the best own us. The hurt in the past owns us. But if we face it and we name it and we bring it to the cross, then who owns us? Who owns us? It's Jesus. He's the hope of the world. I am not trying to make light of your pain. I'm trying to show you how big God is. Does that make sense? So no matter how big, how horrible, no matter what the event was in your past, there's healing over past events. God is still bigger. There was a guy we met, he called our 24-hour hotline that we used to have, and he came in. And he said to me, Bob, I don't cry. I said, you mean in public? He goes, no. I'm like, I know guys, just they cry in public. He goes, no, I don't cry. I'm like, come on. My dad taught me, big boys don't cry. Men do. He goes, no. I said, yeah, when's the last time? He goes, I think I remember. He said, I was 10 years old. My dad wasn't there for me. He said, my dad never, when I was little, never put me on his lap and read a book. I got 14 grandkids. That's all I love to do is read books and pull them on the jet ski in the tube, right? So much fun. He said, my dad never threw me a ball, never took me fishing or motocrossing, never took me golfing, never came to one of my games. He said, my dad was at work or he's in the bar or he was drunk. And he said, so the day when my dad came home and said, hey, I got a train track. You want to put it together, me and you? He said, I literally looked around and, you talking to me, Dad? Yeah. He said, so I started putting a train track together with my dad. He said, it was so awesome. He said, but my dad was a real man. So he never read instructions. Do you know Moses would have never been in the wilderness 40 years if he stopped and asked? Too dang proud, us men, right? He said, but he started getting mad. But he thought, that's okay. But he still wants to be with me. But all of a sudden, he started swearing. So he was a little tentative. And all of a sudden, it got so bad, the mom came in and said, hey, why don't you guys take a break? Come on, I made some sandwiches. And he said, my dad looked at my mom and said, you're the one that told me to play with the stupid kid. And he said he ran to the bedroom and he locked the door and he cried until his pillow was soaked. And he said, never again. Never again will somebody hurt me like that. And he locked the door of his room and of his heart. And let me tell you, I believe that he might have blocked out some pain. But you know what else he blocked out? Friendship. And peace, and love, and laughter. The beautiful things that life's all about. And I pray that today, whatever walls you have up, do you know we all grieve? A lot of us are thinking about that mom who lost her child. Said, we grieve, not like the world grieves, because we have a hope. But he said, with the comfort you've been given, comfort others. And until the church, you know what the world is looking for? With all the church hurt, you know what they think of us, right? You know. And I know we're all, they're bad, they're all worldly, and they're trying to push their philosophies. But they think we're hypocrites. The biggest thing we're looking for is vulnerability and realness. Because hallelujah is the same in all languages. But even though it's different, all of us hurt. And only until we allow more healing as Christians, that we can be real about that pain, that we're going to be able to invite others in. When I was in Vietnam, I met Dr. An. She's a medical doctor. She's the one who helped put on the event. And she said, so many times as Christians, we ignore the events of the past and we live in denial, but it comes out sideways. Did you ever bite somebody's head off and they didn't do anything? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Did your spouse ever do anything like that? And you're like, where did that come from? You know what? We're pushing it down. Some of us need a good cry. Smile, Jesus loves you. Did you know half the Psalms are about crying? Cry. Jesus loves you. It's okay. He said, when you cry, this is what she taught me. You release stress hormones. You release cortisol, which actually helps you sleep, and it strengthens your immune system. She said, as a doctor, we need to talk about the benefits of crying. It detoxifies you. It's a mood balancer. It soothes.
tithing. It dulls the pain so you don't have to turn to drugs or food or other things to escape. They're telling me that 7 out of 10 Christian men are still looking at porn monthly. Why? For a sense of excitement and to deal with the reality of the pain. It might be just time to cry. But it helps you overcome grief and it welcomes others. We cannot heal in isolation, she taught me. That's why we need community. That's why we need community. But when you cry, they don't see a wall. They don't see, I'm Christian, better than you. They see, fellow struggler, but I have a hope that is sure because of Jesus. He's closer than my skin. That's what this world needs. They need that kind of hope. They need to be able to breathe again. And so does your church have a welcome sign with reality and vulnerability? Or a come when you're all cleaned up. I'm a fisherman. Mr. Salberg is here. Him and his brother are two of the best fishermen I know, right? Let me tell you this. You can't clean a fish before you catch it. So we all complain because the world are such sin. Fishermen do what? Sinners do what? So if we just try to correct their behavior, they still don't have a relationship with God. Let's be real. When a baby first breathes, right? They cry, right? When a child is born, they cry. When we're born again, if we're gonna get the revival we need to cry and breathe again. When you breathe, you say, "Way." Do you see that? "Way." Christianity isn't something you add to your life. Worshiping God is what you were made for. It's like trying to ride a bike on the water, right? It's not what it's made for. Trying to do this life without Jesus, it's not what you're made for. That's why we don't have hope. But people say to me, so cool, I looked at the time, we're gonna go, okay, here we go. People say this to me, but where is God? Where is God in all this pain? If God is good, then why? Do you have your own moment like that? You gotta look to the Word. You know where he says he is? Collecting every one of those tears. I don't know how I didn't see this in 40 years. Psalm 56:8 says, since you keep track of all my sorrows and you collected my tears in a bottle and you recorded each one of them. Can I say this to you real quick? He sees you. He knows. He hears you. Let him embrace you. Let him hold you so you can hold others. Whether there's tears of joy. I have 14 grandkids. I had tears of crying yesterday because I sat for 11 hours of dance recitals. But I had so many tears of joy watching my grandkids dance on the God. It was just beautiful. But both are okay. Did you know you produce 5 to 10 ounces of tears every day? That's 15 to 30 gallons a year. My kids say, Dad, you use every ounce. But did you know that there's a disease called dry eye when you can't cry? Then you have to buy tears. Guess how much they are? Paul, guess per ounce, $20 an ounce. You know how much you owe God? Your life. He bought them all. My friend Joy, who goes to Alliance in Appleton, lost her husband, Alan. I called her right after Christmas, her first Christmas without him. I said, how are you doing? She said, I cry a lot. I said, that's okay. That's healthy. That's normal. That's good. And she said, but I also worship a lot. She said, that new song, you can come look and know he's worthy of it all. By Maverick City. I almost listen to it every night so I can fall asleep. Is she totally healed? She's still hurt? But does she have a hope? Oh, yes. Yes. Jehovah Rapha. Tim Keller said this. We are so quick to tweet, to Facebook, to Instagram. But we are so slow to pray. We spend hours on the internet, but minutes on our knees. Whenever anyone asked me if I have any regrets in my life, Tim said, I should have prayed a lot more. And that's an understatement. I want to end this service by having a time of prayer. To say, God, I want hope for the future. But there's some things I need healing over past experiences. But I actually had, and I want to speak to the men personally. I had a guy say to me, I can't do that. I need to be strong for my wife and for my kids, my grandkids. They need to see me strong. Is there one woman in here who wouldn't love to see your husband cry out to God because he can't do it on his own? God is looking for a man strong enough to admit that he's weak. Write that one down. God is looking for a man strong enough to admit that he's weak. Proud enough, no, humble enough to admit that he's proud. Rich enough to admit that he's poor. Men, I think it's time for us. I need men. We need men, but we need gentle men who are going the highest place on this earth is still at the foot of the cross. It's what you were, it's what you were made for. I'm asking you. It says the Lord opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Can you raise a hallelujah in the presence of your enemies? Jehovah Rapha. He's healing back then. He's healing today. The best thing you can do for Hortonville in this area is to get more of Jesus for your own. Because there's things that are still holding us back. It's not more holy to worship with your hands up. I never went to that kind of church. So the first time I did, I saw this. I said, Pastor, they got a question. But I was just in Africa. I was in South Africa 10 days ago, and you should see the men worship there. They make Bob Lentz look like an introvert. But there's a freedom. You study the pain of the African man, and how they've been enslaved. South Africa was first came and taken by the Dutch and then by the British. They didn't have their freedom from apartheid till 94. I met a girl who said, my name is Freedom. My next oldest sister is named Hope, because she was born in 93. She said, I'm the first child to my parents who was born free. 94 for nothing. Mandela. And yet to see those men, I was with these black men and said, in 93, I couldn't go to that beach. I was property of somebody else. Again, I'm not making light of your pain. I'm making big of my God and your God. This is awesome. You know how many people need to hear what you have? 3,000 students just tomorrow. I'm asking unapologetically for every one of you to go get my new book, Hope, Hope for Life. An anchor for your soul. It's a 365-day devotional to get people in the Word every day. Why? I just told you. I have 14 kids. Summer's coming. I need gas for my jet ski. You got to come, Everett. But my wife, it's not my idea. My wife said, let's not take one penny from the books. Let's give it all to go in and give hope to the public schools across this nation. So I am asking you to buy one for somebody else. That's why. The past doesn't have to own you, Jesus does. Not my past, not my pain, not my problems. Healing for past events. When I was in Thailand, we had a time for prayer. And I'll close with this. The two of the many people that came up for prayer. The first one was a woman who said, my dad abused me in every way, physically, emotionally, and you know the other ways. And I was driven to a young marriage because a guy said that he loved me. And he hurt me more than my own dad. And I was driven into the arms. I know it's my choice, but I was driven to the arms of another woman to try to find some kind of love. And then she gets condemned by the church. And she said, but I'm up here today going, that hasn't filled it either. I want the Jesus you're talking about. And appropriately, another woman was standing here and the pastor here. She put her head on my chest and just cried until my shirt was like that pillow of that little boy. But then the hope that I saw come back in her. You know anybody that needs that hope? It starts with us. The next guy came up from Australia and he said, I've been engaged twice. The last time for 10 years and 2 weeks before the marriage, she called it off. And I said, I'd never love again. I said, then why are you up here? He goes, your stupid sermon. I said, why? I want to experience love again. And the worship team had come up, just like Dan did, and start playing a song. And it was the song, He Loves Us. If grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. He goes, that used to be my favorite song. I said, I didn't tell him to play that. Who do you think that is? And he just fell to his knees. And I saw him that night, we did an outreach. And he's like, I experienced God again. He said, but you know what's even wild? I'm like, what? I want a girl. He's willing to try again. I said, I promise you, you could get hurt again because we're all broken, but it's worth it. Love. Let's close in prayer as Pastor comes. And I know we do everything with our eyes closed, but if you want hope for a grandson, daughter, your marriage, physical healing, Hortonville, for your own heart from the past, if you need some kind of prayer, would you humble yourself and trust a God that will receive you and a community that will not judge you? Would you just stand right now if you need some kind of prayer for hope? You need some kind of healing. Right now, men, why don't we start? Right now. He's healing hearts right now. It's what you've been made for. This is better than anything the world has. And the world is dying. The hope isn't in a political party. The hope is a person. His name is Jesus. We need to rebrand what Christianity is. It's not a bunch of good people feeling better than others. It's about healing because he died, he rose, and he's here. So would you just put your arms up like this? And I'm asking for a move of the Holy Spirit that a pastor can't do, that a preacher can't do, that small groups and Bible studies are great, but no program can do. Holy Spirit, you see hungry hearts. Fill them. Fill them. Heal marriages. Heal physical things. You can do it. Heal hope. Bring back our kids and grandkids who have walked away. Make this church explode. May every weekend look as big as Easter, because more are finding hope. 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 We give it to you and we receive that. Yahweh. In Jesus' name, amen. Pray for tomorrow, but then 7 o'clock tomorrow at the high school auditorium, we're having an outreach. You can come, but you gotta bring somebody. Bring a kid, bring somebody. If not, come and volunteer, but pray for tomorrow that many would find that hope.
Amen. Thank you, my brother. If you'd like prayer about something afterwards, I'll hang out over here. I'm sure Bob will hang out as well and be happy to pray with you. But for now, I ask you to just receive this benediction. Now may the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his countenance upon you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Have a wonderful week, church, and we'll see you next Sunday.